All right. Well, tonight, if you'll open your Bibles to Romans 12, we'll spend a few moments together. As you open your Bibles to Romans 12, we'll be talking on the topic of... Now, see what y'all think. Y'all moved all the way back there. You don't think I can get to you, do you? Oh. Okay. All right. Romans 12. We'll be talking about spiritual gifts tonight. And, you know, we talk about spiritual gifts a lot in church, and we think, you know, we have these certain things that we have, or certain deals, or this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Maybe you go and do a spiritual aptitude test, and you fill out all these questions, and you get to the end, and you put these numbers in, you know, you do that, and you're like, oh, I'm an encourager. You ever do one of those? Yeah, all right. We're going to go away from there tonight, okay? I'm going to tell you a neat trick about spiritual gifts, okay? You ready for this? You ready? It's going to blow your mind. You ready? You ready? You ready for one of those aha moments? I call it common sense theology. You ever heard of it? Did? Good, good. Ray's like, yeah, I use it every day. Common sense theology. What I say is this. What are you good at? What are you passionate at? What do you love? I'm echoing, aren't I? Need to back up. What are you good at? Guess what? What's that?
The speaker in front above you. Uh-huh. Project out to about the front row. When you get past that, then you'll catch a little bit of feedback.
Oh, okay. So I need to back up. I said, y'all worked on that all afternoon, didn't you? There'll be a picket fence right here soon. Right here, chain link fence all the way through here. Common sense theology. What are you passionate about? What are you good at? There you go. You've got it. You've got it. Don't overthink it. Don't, oh, I've got to do the aptitude test. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And I've got to run to this corner and then run to that corner and then ask this guy this question and go to, no, you don't do all that. What are you good at? What do you love? What has God given you that just stands out in your life and you're just like, man, I'm passionate about that. There you go. And so we're going to look at that tonight. We're looking at the four principles of these spiritual gifts. Yes, Scripture does list some specific spiritual gifts. Yes, list many. 19, 20, 21, if you look through Scripture. And as we look at this tonight, though, I want us to pull from this and have an understanding just how good God is to you and I. Okay? Do you like receiving gifts? All right. Okay, all right. Let's see here. Do I need to count the heads and say we're going to have some participation tonight, okay? All right, now, listen. Tonight, we're few in number, right? Okay, can y'all hear me back there? Okay, all right, good, all right, okay. Listen, we may be few in number, but we're going to have some fun together, okay? Okay, do you enjoy receiving gifts? Yes, okay. And I was going to be really, really, really good tonight. I was going to maybe try to plan ahead and try to think of like a really good gag gift or just something that, you know, just something like Tay that he just would not like. I mean, Jay, that he just would not like. He called me Mac this morning, so he's never going to live it down. But something that he would just love. I was going to bring him up here and do a big demonstration with him and have him open it and, you know, like a UT Longhorn or something real nice. Because we all love getting gifts, right? We all love getting them. And it's so much fun to think about those gifts. And we do get gifts that we just love. And we love having them. And we love cherishing them. Maybe it's not even things that necessarily we hold even, you know. Gifts can be a range of things. I was just trying to think for myself. I know they don't like me telling stories on them. And Daisy's looking at me rolling her eyes right now. Sorry, Dace. Me and Dace went for a drive. Was that a good drive last Sunday? We like to hop in the pickup. Yes, it's a Ford. Yes, it gets us back, Connor. But anyway, we got in the truck and we went and got us a drink and a snack. And we just went and found dirt roads and gravel roads and different places. And we just drove around. You know what? That was a gift for me. Because I got an hour and a half in the truck with AC. And it's amazing what you talk about with your 10-year-old daughter when you're locked in a truck, isn't it, Daisy? And that's a gift. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's a beautiful thing that we can cherish and enjoy. And we do. We get these gifts, and they're so wonderful. But we start talking about spiritual gifts, and I think we get this lofty idea in our mind that, oh, my goodness, if I don't have some grandeur or some real good church answer, people are not going to think I'm very spiritual. But God has given us all gifts. And so we're going to look through tonight Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. And if you have your Bibles, follow along as I read. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. If proportion, let us do it in our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts, let him exhort. He who gives with liberty. He who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And so this evening, as we look at this scripture together, we see some things, these essentials, these principles of spiritual gifts that we have to understand as we use what God has gifted us. Amen? And God has given us some wonderful gifts. Amen? Amen. Have you been gifted of God tonight? Okay, we're small in number. And if we're going to hear it on this video, you better say it loud. Have we been gifted of God, church? Let them hear you, okay? We have been gifted of God. I can't help but thank you. Think of just the fact of salvation alone. What a gracious and unbelievable gift, okay? I'm trying to look behind me. There's a screen. There's a cross behind that screen, isn't there? Everybody shake your heads, okay? You're like, I don't know. I haven't seen it in years. But anyway, there is a cross behind that screen, okay? Every church has one above the baptistry, okay? And there's a cross back there, and it's such a good reminder to us, because when we think of the gifts of God and the graciousness and the wonderfulness of God, we think, in all honesty, it could stop right there. Amen? Okay, that's where the bobbleheads go, like this. Okay, y'all are getting there. Y'all get there, I promise. It is. It's more than enough. It's sufficient to cover everything we could ever dream or imagine. And He gives us that. He gives His Son. He says, I'm going to give it to you freely. I'm going to pour it out to you where you can have it. And I think to myself, I don't know if you think to yourself or not, but I think to myself, my goodness, that's good enough, amen? That's more than enough. Jesus is enough for me. But God is so good. He is so great. He goes steps further and He just pours and pours and pours these gifts upon us. But now we have these gifts, but how many of us are actually using those gifts? Don't answer that out loud. Okay? But do think in your mind as I talk tonight. Think in your mind about these gifts. Think, are we really using them to benefit God? To bring glory to God, to bring His name big again, because it deserves that, amen? So this morning, I keep wanting to say this morning, this evening, just go with me here. The four things that we're going to walk through together that we see right here, the essentials or the principles of these spiritual gifts is this. The first one is this, is that we must use sober judgment. Sober judgment. We must use clear thinking when we think about these gifts. In other words, it says in Scripture not to think of yourself too highly. Amen? You ever known anybody that walks around, do not start naming names right now, okay? Travis, don't do it. But have you ever known anybody who just walks around church? I got a good strut, don't I? I am the man. I teach Sunday school. I have got all the answers. You ever know anybody like that? Don't say that loud, please. Don't say that loud. We don't want to have a fight tonight, okay? And that's sad, though, church. That's so sad. Scripture tells us right here about these gifts. Don't think too highly of yourself. Use a clear and sober judgment. These gifts are not about us. They're about God. And so when we strut around and we say to the world, look at me and look how great I am, and I'm so good at this and I'm so good at that, and man, when I pick this Bible up right here, I know all the answers. It's not true, guys. I'm a preacher, and I'll tell you right now, it's not true. I can study this night and day, 24/7, 365, one passage, and God would still reveal new things to me. So we cannot think too highly of ourselves. We can't strut around, and I guess some folks outside the church may call us holy rollers or Bible thumpers or some of those names. We can't think too highly, but now here's the other end of that spectrum. If you read Scripture and you see it says too highly, well, then you have folks in the church that think too lowly of themselves, do they not? I can't do anything. Anybody ever tell you that? I can't do that. Hey, will you teach? No, I can't do that. Will you drive the van? No, I can't do that. Hey, will you sweep that floor over there? No, I can't do that. Hey, would you just hand me a hymn book? I don't think I can do that. Now, that's going extreme, I know, okay? I get it, okay? But it's true. We have people sitting in our pews today that when they think about their gifts from God, their spiritual gifts, they don't think they're anything. They don't think they have any power. And you know what the sad part of that for me as a pastor is this. Listen, when we come to Christ, when we accept Jesus Christ, what does He do at the point of salvation? He fills us with who? The Holy Spirit. We're indwelt with God Himself. That's what springs out of us. I guess that makes me get louder, want to run down the aisle right now. It's that Holy Spirit, and it's that power, and it's the excitement and the energy, and that comes directly from God. And yet we have folks sitting in the church who says, God hasn't given me any gifts. I don't have any talents. I'm not good enough. Why? If you believe in God, you have the very Holy Spirit, God Himself, inside of you. I could go sit down, and every one of you could come up here and do what I'm doing right now. All right, Travis, your turn. I'm kidding. Okay. All right. I'm picking on Travis tonight. I don't know why. You got it right there. Okay. Keep going. Okay. All right. But it's true. And people think way too lowly of themselves. I'm not good enough. You know, what's sad about it, I'll be honest with you, I saw that a lot in student ministry, and I thought when I exited out of student ministry and went to pastorate, I thought maybe I would see less of that. And to be real honest with you, I almost see more of it with adults than I ever did with students. I can't do that. I'm not valuable enough. I'm not as talented as so-and-so. The old phrase, let go, let God, right? Trust Him. See what He can do. So we can't think too highly of ourselves, but we can't think too lowly of ourselves either. We have to have that sober and sound judgment. God, You've given me this gift. I need to be authentic in it. You know, we talked about that this morning, did we not? We're going to have these gifts now, and God's given it to me. I can't be up here and I can't be down here. I've just got to be real with it. This is how God can use it through me. That's what we need to be doing. So we got to have a sober judgment about it. Now, here's the thing, church. Everybody's sitting in this building tonight. Look at me. Every one of you look at me right now. I know. It's easy to look at, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm kidding. Every single person sitting in here has a gift from God right now. Shake your heads. Just like a bobblehead. We all do. Not a person in here can say, no, I don't have it. It says in Scripture that we've all been gifted. We've all been given that privilege. The spiritual gifts, if you want to go home and read tonight, I encourage you to read your Bibles at home. Listen, go home and read some of these passages. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. You can find list and list and list and list of gifts that God has given to His people, to His children. And He says, you can do it. No exception, no excuse. I've given it to you. And I want you to use them. They're yours to use. They're yours to bless other people with. They're there for you. So there's no reason that we can sit in this room tonight, think of ourselves too highly, think of ourselves too lowly. Certainly we can never sit in this room tonight and go, God didn't give me anything. God didn't give me a special talent. God didn't give me that special ability. Now, folks, yes, it's listed in Scripture, and I can give you those Scriptures again afterwards, but if you're a strong encourager, do it. How many in the room like to receive encouragement? Raise your hand. Doggone, if your hand's not up, put it up, okay? Listen, we all like encouragement. How many in the room love to be prayed for? Okay, listen, we all want prayer warriors in our lives. We all desire that. We need that. It can be something as simple. I used to tell students all the time in student ministry, listen, you're walking down the hall and you see that kid that's really quiet or really stand out. It's all you have to do is just say hello. That's it. That can be your gift. It can make a world of difference. Guess what? It's true for adults too. Go to work tomorrow. There's that quiet worker, maybe that sort of standoffish employee or something like that. Just a hello can make a world of difference. And that's common sense theology. It's your gift. It's from God. And all we have to do is move our mouths. Now, I'm pretty good at it, amen? We can just move those mouths and do it, okay? So we've all been gifted, and God's given them to us for a purpose and for a reason, and they're not for our benefit, church. They're for His. They're for His alone. If you think, man, God's given me these gifts, and I'm going to build my name, no, sir. It's not about building your name. I don't preach to build my name, church. I can tell you right now. You can write that off real fast. I preach because I love Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ has saved me and I want His name to be big and use His gift. We have gifts. We have to use those gifts. The third thing here now, this is important here, and I see 8, see, I've got my clock running. Don't worry. I know it's Sunday night, okay? We have to understand this. We must use our gifts in unity through diversity. I know it's a crazy word to use in church, right? But we all have gifts, amen? We've gotten across that bridge, right? We all have gifts? Amen, all right, we all do, okay? But here's the thing. If we do not use those gifts, it just messes everything up in the church. You know why? Because we don't function unless we're all doing God's glory, amen? The best way to describe that, I'm sure you've heard it described before, and it's true. Have you ever worked on an assembly line? Anybody in the room ever worked on an assembly line, been there, done that? Okay. If one person does not do their job on an assembly line, what happens? Not good, is it? Messes everybody up. Same is true in the church with our spiritual gifts. Same is true. If we're not all using what God has given us and we're using it for His glory and we're using it and functioning together because we're many members that make up what? One body, amen? We're going to fail God. So you say, well, why is it so important that I use my gift? Because it affects all of us in this room. It affects the effectiveness of what God can do in this community and in this church. If we don't take what God has given us and use it for His glory. We have to be unified in the spiritual gifts and diversified in such a way that we're working together. And I'm going to spend a few moments. I'm 20 minutes in. I'll spend 10 minutes here and I'll give you 30 minutes, okay? But here's the cool thing about it. We do it all together in unity for this, for the common good. That's crazy, isn't it? What is the common good in the church? Now, don't answer that out loud. Just think for yourself for a second. God has gifted us great spiritual gifts. He's given us Son Jesus Christ so that we can have these spiritual gifts, so that we can enlighten others with these gifts and build God up and show God to them. But what is this common good? What is this common good that the Scripture is talking about being unified as the body? I believe it's really, to me, it's four things. The first thing is this. Iron sharpens what? Iron. Proverbs 27:17. You ever read that? Iron sharpens iron. We're here to sharpen one another. Amen. Are we here to sharpen one another, church? Amen, we are. That's what we're here to do. I'm here to sharpen you, but guess what? You're here to sharpen me. When we sharpen one another together, we can do greater things for God because we're encouraged and we're built up and we're excited and we're enthusiastic about what God is doing and what we're doing with one another. And it means something. And so we have to have that common good, and we have to say, yes, the common good is we're going to sharpen one another. The second thing I believe the common good is this, and we better be doing this whether there's COVID or not, and that is kingdom building, church. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, don't let me start preaching another sermon, but listen, guys, listen, that is what we're called to do. Not just preachers or youth ministers or music ministers, we are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We are called to be sent. We are called when He calls us and saves us. What He says to us is, listen, you are my son and you're my daughter, and I desire for you to be kingdom builders. I desire for you to go outside of your bounds and outside of your walls and outside of your comfort zones and outside of those places, and I desire for you to be my agents of truth. That's what He wants. But we take our gifts, and we, too many times, we take our gifts and we take them and we wrap them up in pretty little wrapping papers and we put pretty little bows on them. You know what we do with them? And then we set them down somewhere. We don't use them for God's kingdom. We don't use them to encourage others to encounter Christ like we talked about this morning. We don't use them for people to be able to see Jesus for the very first time, for people to encounter Him, maybe when they're facing some of the toughest times in their lives. Maybe they're facing a divorce. Maybe they're facing addictions. Maybe they're facing financial woe or health woes or whatever it may be, church. If we do not use the gift for the common good, and the common good is showing them the love of Jesus Christ, we fail our spiritual gifts. Because I can tell you, church, right now, there's a hurting world outside these walls. You hear me? There is. I don't care if you live in Cajoma, Texas, or Springdale, Arkansas. There are people in desperate need of Jesus Christ. Desperate need of Him. And the only way they hear the truth is when we take the spiritual gifts that God has given us and we use them for the common good. We sharpen one another. We kingdom build together. I believe another common good is this. And boy, if you don't love worship, something's wrong in your mind. But I believe it's common good is about worship as well. Scripture speaks about we are created to worship who? God. We're created for that purpose. Do you get excited about worship, church? Boy. You should be. Worship should be something that, you know, we get done on Sundays, Monday morning you wake up, it should be a thought for you, like, man, I can't wait till next Sunday. I can't wait to sing some more praises. I can't wait to get in His Word. I can't wait to sharpen one another. I can't wait to encourage. I can't wait to use my gifts. But here's the thing, don't just use them on Sunday. You hear me? Don't just use them on Sunday. That'd be a waste of God's wonderful gifts, amen? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Got to use them. Acceptable worship and service before God is the common good. I also believe, though, the common good is we must understand, and we better get it through our minds and our hearts, that it is for God alone, for Him alone. God does not give us gifts for us, again, to say, look at me. Boy, we live in a society that teaches that, does it not? Boy, look at me. Boy, aren't I good? Man, don't I do that really well? Man, I'm just awesome at this. Now, when we think about the common good, we must realize that God gives us these gifts. And you say, well, man, that's a selfish God. He gives me a gift and He expects me just to use it for Him? What's that all about? You don't give me a gift for you just give it back to me. Think about what God has done for you. Hear me? Think about what God has done for us. Think about what God's done for us. Right, so you go all full circle now, okay, and you'll catch up with me. Full circle. I started out down there, and I was trying to point back to that cross. God gave everything for you and I. I cannot even begin to fathom or comprehend or understand that. On July 7th, 1993, this guy here came into the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. He saved me. He gave me a new life. He gave me a purpose. So why in the world would this guy ever think that the God of this great universe, the majestic God that He is, that saves me, that gives His one and only Son to me, and then He gives me the gift after gift after gift after gift, why in the world would I ever think that it should not be used for His glory alone? He deserves it, church. He deserves it. How many folks in the room have a son? Would you give your son up for me? Would I give mine up for you? Think about that. Tough pill to swallow. God looked at you and I and He said, I'm going to give him. He willingly gave him. A brutal death on a cross. In the book of Isaiah, it says that Jesus was unrecognizable. He was beaten so bad. He gave His only Son for you and I. And then He keeps giving. He keeps giving. All He says to you, all He says to me, just give these gifts back for me. Don't use it for your glory. Give it back to me. Can you imagine what would happen in the world around us? Think about that just for a second. What would take place in our homes? What would take place in this church? What would take place in any church when the children of God suddenly said, I understand what these spiritual gifts are for. And God, I'm going to use them for you. Can you imagine what would happen, church? I thought it would scare some of us, wouldn't it? I think it would. If the Holy Spirit cut loose, what would happen to us? It would be a wild scene, wouldn't it? God is a good God. He gives us gifts, church. He gives us gifts that far outweigh any gift we'll ever, ever, ever receive here on earth. He does. How are we going to return them to Him? Are we going to use it for Him? Or are we just going to sit on it? Or worse yet, and I promise I'll close, worse yet, God, I can't do anything for you because I'm not good enough. God, I'm not talented enough. God, I'm not this, I'm not that. And yet that same God says in the book of Deuteronomy, you are my treasured possession, my holy and chosen people. That's the God that looks at you and I. That's how He looks at us. Are we going to take these gifts and use them for His glory? I pray we do. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this evening. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the fact that it just stands out, God. And God, I pray as we have looked at these gifts, God, these essential part of these gifts tonight, God, I pray that our heart's desire is truly to use them for your glory. God, there's not a person in this room, I don't care if they're a child or an adult, teenager. God, there's not a person sitting in here tonight that does not have a very special gift, a special talent from you, for you. God, I pray that we give them to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And again, we pray believing because you are a good, good, good God.